City Planning Board meeting, December 13th, 2023.
With the, again, it's just getting this confused or kind of, you know, so I'm throwing the six. Everyone can take their seats, please. We're about to begin. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for coming this evening and wish everybody happy holidays as well. And everyone, hit the board. I love the lovely faces that are here tonight. So we have a great board, full board, and we're in session. So this will be a good night for all of us. At this time, we're going to begin the meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey Sunshine Law. The notice of this meeting was advertised in the press. Current copy of SAVE has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, the list board administrator called the roll.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Landgraf and Tom Halpin.
This time, we have the minutes of the last meeting to adopt. Are there any amendments or comments to changes to the said said minutes? Hearing none, may have a motion and a second to adopt the minutes of October 23rd, 2023.
I'll make the motion.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. They are hereby adopted.
I abstain.
Okay, you have two abstentions, Mr. Tocco and Tim in here. So that's it. All right, we'll move on. We have one, two, three, four, five resolutions to adopt this evening. They are P44 of 2023, 106 Troy Avenue, South Troy Avenue, P44, I'm sorry. P45 of 2023, 204 North Melbourne Avenue. P46 of 2023, 14 North Washington Avenue. P47 of 2023, 417 North Somerset. And P48 of 2023, 318 North Cambridge Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to those resolutions? If not, with a block, may I have those adopted, please? And I need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Good. Are there any abstentions?
Yes.
Again, we have two. Our board administrators noted those. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Those resolutions are hereby adopted this evening. We'll move on. We have two applications this evening. We have new business or public hearings on resolution or things will be presented this evening by one of our consultants in planning. At this time, the first application will be that of Dennis James and Dennis Boyd, 223 North Surrey Avenue. Next application will be that of Carmen Cafagno, 5400 Edgewater Avenue. Please proceed, Mr. Abbott. We'll have everybody sworn.
We good to go, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Let the record reflect that Peter Tocco has recused himself of this application.
John Scott Abbott, I'm here on behalf of James and Denise Boyd. Mr. Boyd is sitting here at my side. I also have Todd Noor as our lead architect and witness. This should be it's a real nice project.
Did you have everybody sworn for us, please?
I would love to swear, man.
Yes.
Leo, I guess you swear, man.
Sure. We got Mr. Boyd and Mr. Miller. Just give us your name and address or business address for the record. I'll swear you in together.
James Boyd, 410 North Surrey Ave, Bedford, New Jersey.
Todd Miller, QMA Architects, 15 South Ventnor Avenue, Ventnor.
Thanks, and if you...
Absent.
So, just got to get him sweat. If you, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth? And I'll get Roger sworn in real quick.
Wait 1 minute, please. Mr. Miller, for the record, are you a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Are you a planner?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Let the record reflect his credentials are accepted and he has appeared before many times.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll swear in our engineer and planner.
All right, Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, please proceed.
Okay, so John Scott Abbott, I'm here on behalf of the applicants, James and Denise Boyd. You can sound, you can hear, I'm not 100% here. I've had this respiratory for over 5 weeks. My doctor swears I'm not contagious at this point. So still, I wouldn't kiss me if I were you, but I am fighting this thing. The house that we're proposing tonight is another one of those homes on piling, partially over the water. Here it's at 233 North Surrey Avenue. It's funny, when I was a kid, Surrey Avenue was kind of like Tobacco Road in Ventnor. I don't know if you guys remember it, but I do. I grew up nice. And it has so changed. It's amazing. I've represented a number of those homes with riparian matters and with DEP matters and zoning matters. So tonight, this is an application I originally got approved in 2016 for Pregano. The appeal ran out, or the approval ran out, rather. Jimmy lives in Ventnor Heights now. He lives at, where do you live? 410 North Surrey. He's always wanted to live on the water. He was able to buy this property from Pregano. We have our DEP permit extended, so we're good with the DEP. But we have to come back to you. I think there's some slight changes, perhaps, with the dimensions relative to the bulkhead. I'm going to try to not talk too much because then I start talking. I want to bring Todd up, and he's got plans mounted. Todd, you want to bring your plan up? Right?
Hey, if you could, Scott, can you move those plants closer so everyone can see them?
Everyone.
Jimmy, why don't you grab me over? And if anyone in the audience is needing to see these plants as well, you can orientate themselves if you'd like. So that will let us know so that you could also see them as well. Go into this explanation. Is there any need for that? Okay. Now, of course, you all have some things in your packs, but also for the benefit of the public and testimony. All the same.
Todd, I think you'd be better holding the mic in your hand, too.
Go ahead, Todd, take it.
Okay, thank you so much. So we are here with the exact same house and site plan as we were in 2016. The only modifications to our drawings were revisions to address code changes that you made, definitions of certain things and setbacks. But otherwise, the architecture is exactly the same.
Scott, let me pause you 1 second. This board was reconstituted from the Zoning Board and the Planning Board in 2017. So members of this board, not present at the time this first hearing was heard. Okay. Just want to let you know.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Obviously, this application stands alone and is completely independent from the previous application. What we're proposing to do is build a 2.5-story house that's elevated with parking underneath and extends from the uplands over the water in the location of the footprint of what was the existing house when the DEP approved it.
Bulkhead.
The new bulkhead is in place. That's correct. Yes.
Under the Ventnor ordinance, we can't swim in the area that's under the water with the bulkhead. All requirements and compliance. Because it's over the water, it doesn't allow us. Most of the variance basically stems back.
Pardon me 1 second, Todd.
Yes.
Mentioned the bulkhead.
Is the bulkhead at the current height that the city requires?
We believe it is.
What is the height?
I know that we have to certify, have engineered. We'll have our filing people lined up, come back.
I know.
Of course, we'll have to do that certification when we go.
Okay, but that bulkhead will have to meet the current standards.
It looks pretty high.
Well, pretty high doesn't count.
When they submit for the bulkhead permit, it has to be proper elevation.
What are we now?
Eight. Minimum of eight.
Eight.
Minimum.
And what data is that on? 88 data?
Yes.
That's on 88 data?
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, I just, so everybody's going through this whole.
Yes.
And it'll be there.
So the house's design meets the front yard setbacks for the house and the porch and meets the side yard setbacks for the house. And it's the rear yard setbacks where most of the variances occur because the ordinance is written such that the bulkhead is the extent of the buildable area and everything is measured from the bulkhead. Well, if we take rear yard setbacks from the bulkhead and front yard setbacks, we'll have a house about 10 feet wide. And what we're proposing to do is build essentially in the footprint of the existing house. We also have lot coverage and building coverage variances because, again, the ordinance is written to measure only the uplands portion of the lot. Now, Roger calculated his lot coverage is a little differently than ours. I'm not sure if one is right or wrong.
Rogers is right.
Then Rogers is right. So we'll use his numbers. We calculated lot coverage. We calculated the coverage of the upland portion of the building only. And disregarded anything that was over the water. I think Roger counted the whole house and then divided it by the lot area.
Go with your number. I didn't. I just deducted.
Oh, okay.
Landscaping.
So the ordinance.
You'll provide the number and I'll agree with it.
The ordinance isn't quite clear as to how to calculate that on lots such as this. So that was the process we used. So the proportion of the building that's over the upland portion of a lot we counted. And the same for landscaping, and we disregarded anything was over the water, and that's how our numbers came about.
Square feet. We are in a bottle rod. Tell the board what variance, what variance.
Okay. So lot depth measured to the bulkhead, we're at about 41. Feet and required to have 62 and a half, so we were requesting a variance for that.
What
is 75 feet exactly, but the other 30 feet is in the water. Porches in the rear yard, ground level, first floor, second floor, and third floor all require the respective variances and have different requirements. Let me just go down the list. Principal setbacks to the rear yard of the building, again, is measured to the bulkhead and not to the property line, which is in the water, so we need variances for that. Building. So building coverage with our calculations show we comply because we cover 45.3% of the uplands of the lot with building and we're permitted to have 50%.
I agree to that.
So based upon that calculation, we comply. Lot coverage, using the same calculation of just the uplands and what is covered on the uplands, we're permitted 75%, and we're covering 69.2%, so we comply with that as well. We have two overhangs on the upper dormers that project 36 inches, which would require a variance where 18%. Is permitted, and we have a 20-foot 10-inch curb cut a request to grow only 20 feet is permitted. And that's basically because we have a column that sits between the two parking spaces that pushes that curb cut just a tad wider necessary in order to back out. And I think that is variances.
Do you take due to the physical characteristics of this property at half of the southern border and based on the zoning ordinance that we do face peculiar hardships regarding this specific piece of property?
Oh, absolutely. It would be
variance relief, all variance would be consistent with that allowed to be for development that's up and down that street, Surrey Avenue.
That's correct. So it would be essentially impossible to build a structure that complies with the ordinance on this lot. And what we're proposing,
consistent with the area.
Yes, the design of the home and the building out over the water in the existing footprint of the homes is very consistent with all the other homes on that street. And you can see street side photographs of all those homes as part of our application. The way we comply with the landscape ordinance. We're not proposing two street trees because street trees don't live on that street because of the constant flooding.
I have a question, please, on the landscaping. Are you planning to have that landscaping at grade or elevated?
We're showing it at grade, but I understand that elevating it is a really good idea in order to help.
Board has been asking those individuals in this particular type of zone, which has more flooding than it should have, because of its area, it's going to have it for the rest of its life.
Jimmy, do you have any problem with us elevating the landscape?
Use up.
He's talking about building landscape. Building planters up above this, yeah, that is not in.
Maybe done with masonry walls, not timber that floats away or anything else. Because,
yes.
Because that's what neighbors have done. It's been very successful, by the way.
Yes.
And it helps you, it helps the owners. I'm going to keep replacing the shrubbery. And also, I asked that if they try to do it, it selects the species that are as much as possible that are saltwater resistant.
Absolutely.
That way it saves everybody money and time. It looks good all the time.
And in Roger's report, which I received last night, he suggested that we elevate the ground another foot, at least the parking area another foot, so that it would be that much higher out of the local flood. Yes.
Oh, while we're talking, so you concur with and accept Roger's report.
Yes.
We'll put that in the record also.
That is clarified today.
Okay.
I think that's what like I said. We approve once. We have our TEP
Let me ask one more question, please. The overhangs are extended out to 36 inches. Now, how close did they protrude? Did they protrude into the setbacks? And how close and how, where do they finish in relationship to the property lines?
Yeah, so we're just talking about this one dormer, which is on either side of the house, and it's actually only this one side that would project into the setback to, I believe, 12 inches from the property line.
That may be a question that the fire department may have to fire code in there. It's not our business here, but those things that happen sometimes are not the not recommended being that close to the lines if possible. So if there's anything, you know, you'll have to defer. You'll talk with them about it. We don't regulate that. What I'm saying is, that it's to your benefit.
Exactly. The whole purpose of that is basically to introduce these large architectural brackets, which are so typical of it.
But,
and we felt that because it was so high, above the fire department access. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, so if you feel that it's okay to approve it subject to them, we're fine with that. And if they say no, we'll cut them back.
The building department, the fire department, I think should reevaluate that. We can't do that here.
Okay.
And it's to your benefit, the city's benefit to do that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to wrap up.
Yes. Now we're going to open it to the public.
Couple of questions real quick. Todd, you said you updated these plans?
Just in terms of the zoning schedule.
I didn't see any revision dates.
There are revision dates on the sheets that revised. So the zoning schedule on A5. And it's actually clouded. And I think we revised the third floor where we calculated the floor area of the third floor because the definition of how to calculate that change.
It looks like yours say Pagano on them still, where everyone else is say Boyd on them. So something must have happened there. Yeah, so like if you look at Jay's. Because I got the same.
Watch.
Yeah. What did you say the curb cut width is?
20 foot 10 inches. So we're asking for an extra 10 inches.
Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant? Anything you'd like to discuss?
That's it.
At this time, we'll open up to the public.
Does the property project out any further than the nearby on the bay side? The dock area and the it looks as though you're. I don't see that.
Commissioner, does it project out?
Does it project any further into the water than the adjacent homes?
Really, because we've got a couple homes here that go out. I do not have a precise measurement. Not many feet past the bulkhead is our structure. Can you tell that? You have the ability to get a step bigger.
Looks like you're more in line with the houses to the north than to the south.
What's our distance from the bulkhead out?
We're about 30 feet beyond the bulkhead.
That's there is reason here. Some of my law.
Yeah.
Going at.
No. No, nothing exceeds your repairing and grant rights.
No.
Okay.
At this time, Commissioner, you wait?
Yeah.
I wish to open to the public. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to comment on this application? Hearing no request and seeing no gestures of request. Public portion is now closed. Sir Abbott, you're complete. Okay, at this point. Okay.
Actually, you've seen so many of these. Verified.
At this time, board members, are you prepared for a vote?
Okay. You have to be here to broaden this report.
Okay. Thank you. Roger, would you read your report into the record,
read
please?
The gist of it. Again, I reviewed the plans from 2015, not the revised ones, but they're close enough. And again, that's why I missed the curb cut, because it wasn't shown on the plans in 2015, but it was revised on the plans in 2016 or this year. So it's a hardship variance and substantial benefit variance. And the materials reviewed on the bottom of page one, conceived on page two. And the chart with the plans, the project description, again, they received prior approval. Scott, when is your DEP permit extended to?
I believe it goes to this summer.
2024. So you got to get your permits in.
Have a copy of that extension letter attached to the application, but I believe it's July.
Okay.
That's why I've been all over Jimmy to get that piling design plan and get those piling that water and foundation done.
Right. Okay. We'll work with you on that. So you got your extension for the DEP permit. That satisfied that. Zoning chart on page three, again, I think it's one of the major differences between now and the 2016 was that I added in our definitions lot area, everything's measured to the high water line. In this location, the high water line is the bulkhead line. So the variance is lot depth, existing non-conforming, side yard setback on the right, rear yard setback to the building and the decks, Building coverage, that has been clarified, there's not any more a variance. Lot coverage, same thing, been clarified, and the landscape coverage, which I calculated based on the lot coverage, so now you comply with the total lot coverage. I'm fine with that. The roof eave projection, again, there's no change in that from the 2016, and the additional curb cut width of 20 feet, 20.83 feet, and the landscape plan waiver is requested. I believe they can incorporate a landscape plan as part of the site plan as a condition of approval, as opposed to a separate landscape plan. And again, consistent with this area that floods, I agree with the request to waive the shade trees and to elevate the planting beds to ensure longer and more successful life of the plants. And again, elevating the lot, I think that's important, and adding downspouts into the water to get it off the street will reduce the load on the storm system. That's important. And again, this is a typical application along this waterway. It's not the first time we've seen this, and I think we have another one coming up pretty soon similar to this. So that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for anyone? At this time, we'll move to a vote. Mr. Mano, sir?
Sure.
Prepare a resolution in the affirmative, please, for the board to vote.
Todd, one quick question. Those roof eave projections, is that just one dormer or is that on both of them?
Both sides.
Both sides, right? Okay.
They're just on the left side facing the door.
Okay. All right. So it's a C variance application. The following C variances, I'll run through them real quick. The lot depth, they're 44 and a half feet to the bulkhead, which is the rear property line under our ordinance, where 62 and a half feet is required. The side yard setback to the deck on the right side at 0 feet, where 4 feet is required. The rear yard setback to the building is 12 feet required. It's at 0 feet because they're over the water. Same thing with the rear decks at the first, second, and third levels. Per the testimony and the calculations, building coverage, lot coverage, and landscaping coverage all comply. There's, as we just discussed, the roof eave projection. You're allowed 18 inches, and they have 36 inches on that left side dormer. And the curb cut is, you're allowed 20 feet. They're at 20.83 feet, or 20 feet 10 inches. We're going to waive the two street trees. And the conditions I noted, well, we got anything in Mr. McLaren's report unless otherwise addressed, subject to any outside approvals and any representations made during the course of the hearing. But they're going to incorporate a landscape plan into the site, into their compliance plans that they submit. They're going to elevate the landscaping and masonry and attempt to use, you know, saltwater resistant species, if at all, to the extent practical. They'll elevate that ground 1 foot. And the downspouts will be directed into the water. And again, I noted anything else in Mr. McLaren's report and the catch-all standard conditions. So we'll need a motion.
And they asked to review the E with the fire department or building department for safety. And that's okay. Which is not regulated by this board.
Okay. So with that, we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote of 9 members.
May I have a motion, please?
I'll second it.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I support the application. I think the triggering of the upland area triggers these variances with the distance beyond the bulkhead. And the other variances, the porches, the overhangs, and the curb cut are de minimis. I think the ability to have two off-street parking in this neighborhood, which is one of the tightest streets in the city, barely can survive street parking. I think that's a positive balance. And they've done all the right things. They've brought back, they're raising the property to, which is one of our most flood-prone areas. This area is nuisance flooding. It's one of the first lines of defense for nuisance flooding. The bulkhead is new, and we're getting a flood-compliant house, which is going to help our insurance rating. But it also is an attractive home that I think is reflects well on Ventnor, where Barrier Island, that has that should have these types of homes along its waterfront. These are the types of things that people react to in a positive way about a barrier island. And I think you're doing a nice design, and it'll reflect well on the city. I agree with him.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. First of all, the house and the lot are generally following the developmental pattern of the street, which is already there. And it's due to the narrowness, shallowness, and exceptional shape of the lot, which is the words that defined in the land use ordinance. It's attempting to also mitigate the flooding issues, and it's adding a very good level of what we call resiliency in its plan. And it's a good example of what can be done to be shown that way. So we applaud them for it, first of all. And the following thing is that in the rear of the house, there is a separation of property. So other properties across the way have exactly the same condition. So in the point of fairness and with our design as well, it's doing what has been accepted and has been done in the city for years. And therefore, the city is winning. It's meeting the objects and the design and the preferences of our master plan and the intent of it. We're a resort community. It's providing outdoor space. And it's a great vendor home. And it's a great shore home. So with that, I approve the case.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also approve the application. Most of the variances are all as a result of the conditions of the being over water. The other two, the overhang and the curb cuts, are really de minimis. And I have to say, it will be a very attractive addition to the street. And as always, the drawings are exceptional. Thank you. They're a pleasure to review.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. What you're asking for is that we've proved so many times, excuse me, for properties over water. And the things that don't relate to water are, you know, small in nature. So I don't really see any reason to deny this.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the project. I think it's a wonderful infill, last spot over there. And like everybody said, it's the water issues caused the variances for the most part. Beautiful design from the street and the bay. Can't see any negative criteria whatsoever. No one came out against it. And
Mike Wiesen?
I'm also in favor. It's nice to see the plans the second time with a little tweaking to make it even better for the city.
Tim Coop.
I also vote in favor. The uniqueness of the lot creates the hardship, and I think the design is a good balance. It's an asset to the city.
Greg Gaskell.
I vote yes. What we're asking for is de minimis. I believe this house will fit in with that neighborhood. As Mr. Abbott said, it wasn't that long ago there were chaps on that street. And now it looks like Millionaire's Row, and it's beautiful.
Wendy Bartlett?
I'll vote in favor of the application. It's a beautiful design. I think it'd be a great asset.
Mr. Boyd, I'd like to welcome you to the community, but you're already here, so I'll say welcome to the new address. Thank you. Hey, I said I'll welcome you to, you're in the community now, so I'll welcome you to a new address. Thank you.
Good luck.
Nice seeing you all.
Nice
thank
project.
You. Thank you all. Thank you very much. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. See you all later. That's the application.
Billy, I miss the you're up miss Billy Nance. It's a pity. He's the king. Sorry, yeah. Good days.
My kid is the same. What's the pit?
The next application is that of Carmen Carfagno, 5400 Edgewater Avenue.
Thank you.
I'd like the chance.
Mick?
Yes.
Well, the procedure's going to be with this is that we often use is that you'll swear your witnesses in. Planner and engineer will do a preamble on this one, and then you will continue all the way through.
Okay.
You'll answer on the record yourself, please. Answer on the record. In fact, you can do it now. Speak into the mic.
Mr. Chairman, I have to recuse myself from this application.
Let the record reflect that Wendy Bartlett is recusing herself in the matter, this case, and is stepping back from the board, separating herself from other members. And also, Peter Taco is now returned from his stepping aside in recusal and will now be participating in this case. Okay, did you have your team sworn?
Yes. First, good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Nick Talvacchi on behalf of the applicant, the Carfagno Trust. I'd like to have Mr. Carfagno. I don't anticipate that he's going to testify, but we can swear him in. Mr. Carfagno, if you could just come up here for a moment. And our architect, Andrew Bechtold, will provide the testimony. Gentlemen.
Okay. Well, Mr. Bechtold and Mr. Carfagno, just give us your name and business address or business address. I'll swear the two of you in together.
Carmen Carfagno, 5300 Edgewater Avenue, Ventnor.
Andrew Bechtold, 599 Shore Road, Summers Point, New Jersey.
And can you please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes.
Andrew,
agree. Thank you.
You're a licensed architect. Are you a planner also?
I am a licensed.
I'm a licensed architect, sir.
State of New Jersey.
Yes, sir.
Let the record reflect that your credentials are accepted.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, you're going to have your the preamble, or you want me to begin?
At this time, engineer McLaren will read a preamble. Well, we actually read the record in,
okay.
Report in, and then you'll proceed now.
Very good.
And Roger, would you please continue?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of the 2017 Carmen Carfagno Trust, 5400 Edgewater Avenue, Block 150, Lots 22 and 22.01, 22.01 being the riparian lot in the water. Seeking C variances, engineering and planning report located in the R7 single family zoning district. Hardship variance and substantial benefit case, so those proofs have to be applied. Preliminary firm zone elevation 10. This is right around the corner from the prior application. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page one of my report, as well as the plans received and reviewed on page two, the project description. The applicant proposes to construct a new flood-compliant single-family dwelling located partially upland of a new bulkhead to be constructed with almost an equal portion of the dwelling over open water. The previous structure was likely damaged during Superstorm Sandy, as they all have been in this area, and currently has a non-compliant timber bulkhead that will be replaced. This type of project is not unusual along this stretch of inside thoroughfare, and similar applications have been approved over the last several years. You have your DEP permit, Nick?
Yes, we submitted that as part of our application. We have a CAFRA permit, which only allows us to build within the existing footprint, which is what we're doing.
Which is normal?
Yes.
Thank you. Zoning chart on page three, I just want to highlight a couple of the zoning issues or bulk standards. The required lot area is 2,000 square feet. They have 1,000, almost 1,400 square feet of upland area, but they do have a total of 5,625 square feet total lot area. Lot width, it's required to be 32 feet. They exceed it at 75 feet. Lot depth is required to be 62.5 feet. Again, they exceed it on paper. 75 feet. However, once you add the upland and the high water line, it's only 17.7 feet. So as you can see from that description, they're very limited on available upland area to construct anything. So just going over to the bulk standards again, because everything's measured to the high water line, which is the bulkhead. The variance is being sought on page four, lot area, where they need 2,000 square feet, they have 1,400 square feet. Lot depth, 17.7 feet is available, and they need 62.5 feet, and they actually have 75 feet out into the water. Front yard setback to the building, 12 feet is required, 7.4 feet exists, and 11.3 feet is proposed, which isn't bad considering they only have 17.7 feet to work with.
Side yard setback on the deck at the left, 29.7 feet exist and 0.8 or 0.67 feet or 8 inches to the elevated pool deck. And again, the applicant may provide a revision to that, but that's up to the applicant at this time. Rear yard setback to the building, again, because the building's over the water, everything that's over that bulkhead line is a 0-foot setback, so rear yard setback to the building is a variance curb cut. There you can have 2.9 or 1.18. They have a 24-foot and a 14-foot wide or proposed landscape coverage total. Again, this number, they need 25%. They had 9.1%, but I think they will be applying a little bit more to decrease that variance, if not eliminated. Swimming pool setback to the front yard, where swimming pools are actually not permitted to be within the front yard, so the setback would have to be 12 feet, and 3 feet is proposed, so the pool is in the front yard setback. Swimming pool to the setback on the side, whereas a swimming pool required to have a minimum side yard setback of 6 feet, and 3 feet is proposed. Again, that might be revised to eliminate that variance. Swimming pool setback in the rear, whereas a swimming pool is to have a minimum setback of 6 feet, 3.5 feet is proposed to the bulkhead. That variance would be difficult to eliminate, but might be at a different location. Fencing, height front yard fencing, whereas front yard fences are permitted within a front yard at a height no greater than 4 feet from the top of curb, and 7.8 feet is proposed. And the style fencing in the front yard is required to be open, and this is a privacy fence that is a variance. No waivers have been requested. A couple comments. I'm not going to go through every single one of my comments, but similar to the prior application, I would recommend that the street tree requirement or recommendation, it is an option, but we've been pretty much enforcing it. But in this case, it should be waived. The lot area and depth, and actually most of these variances other than the pool and the fence, are pretty much caused by the 17.7 feet of upland available area. Lot width is actually exceeding what's required. Off-street parking requirements are being met. Real quick on the off-street parking, you're required to have an 18-foot parking space. So you have 17.7 feet. Are you seeking a size variance for the parking space?
No, I don't believe so. I think we're going to have the 18. The 17.7, I believe, is measured planner. We're going to have 18 once that planner is removed.
And the new bulkhead, is that going out shore of the old one?
I believe that's going to be out shore.
So you gain about a foot and a half. Okay. As long as that's not a variance, I'm fine with that. Again, any shrub should be in a raised bed in the non-floatable material. And I will conclude my report at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'm going to have Andrew testify, but before I do, just a few points. This is a C1 and C2 case. We think it's a classic hardship because of the limited upland of 17.7 feet. The lot, as was indicated, if you include the water area, is substantially larger than required. The lot width is substantially larger than required. It's consistent. You'll see the design and the size with the surrounding properties. I note that the front yard setback is substantially improved, still needs a little bit of a variance, but much better than the current condition. We have 3 parking spaces, 2.5 is required. The house will have a new bulkhead, which will be compliant. The house will meet the new standards for floodproofing. We have raised the grade as much as feasible. So this house will be substantially better than what's there. We also think under the C2 criteria in terms of we think the aesthetics are better, which is by itself a purpose of zoning that can, or variance that allows the board to grant the variance relief. But we also think the hardship is there given the limited upland area, 1,396 square feet. The lot is really over 5,000 square feet. With that, I want to have Andrew walk you through the project. We did make one design change after we read Mr. McLaren's report. The proposed swimming pool deck is, less than the 4 feet required, about less than a foot. We're going to switch the stairs that lead up to that pool area to the left side, and that will allow us to slide the pool deck over to the right and we'll make that 4-foot setback now. So that will be one variance that goes away. I also want to point out that Mr. Carfagno owns the house immediately to the left. So he's here, and I know he has no objection as a neighbor, but he's also the applicant here. So it's a little bit of a joke there. Not funny, but this house is being built for his family. He intends to, you know, have his children there, eventually his grandchildren. And, you know, if you know his house immediately to the left, you'll see he's made a major investment in Ventnor. This is also going to be a substantial first-class improvement to the city. And with that, I'd like to have Andrew walk you through this.
Yes. The house is located right at the corner of, or the intersection, if you will, of Edgewater and Shuri. And what we're proposing to do is taking the existing home that was there, remove it, and rebuild a new house. Most of the existing house was out over water. So our building coverage is very, very low considering the square footage we have to deal with. We have about, 1,396 square feet of upland area from the bulkhead, of which a very small portion of that is actually covered by a house, but we do need to provide off-street parking. The two curb cuts are actually already there, and I'm gonna pass out an exhibit in just a second about that. But there are already two curb cuts. We can certainly reduce the curb cuts that we're proposing now. Where there's two off-street parking spaces, I think we can reduce that curb cut to probably 20 feet. And where's a single curb cut for the individual car that's a little further down the lot, we can probably reduce that to 10. So we can probably reduce that curb cut down a little bit more. The proposed house is only going to be two stories. The existing house is only two stories. It could be 2.5. We're not going that high. We're far below the maximum height here. We're far under the habitable coverage or building coverage that we can be. There isn't much greenscape here. There's some existing planting beds. We're actually going to add some more planting beds. We're actually going to create more pervious space on the lot than what's currently there. And the house is only a 4-bedroom house, so that's why we only require to have 2.5 parking spaces. We're going to have 3. I'm going to pass out this exhibit so we can kind of go over what.
For the record, the exhibit you're showing, is that part of what we submitted, or any changes?
No, these are.
No, what the board. I mean. All right.
Show you what we're changing with the pool, as that was a point that was brought up by Roger, where the side yard setback, even though the person who owns right next door owns this house, creating some separation from the pool and from that house, and also comply with any deck setback. We will not comply with that deck setback 4 feet, and I'm going to pass this out in just a second.
Sure.
And the pool will be back approximately 7 and change away, so it's going to exceed the 6-foot setback required on the side. We're still going to be right up against on the front, but let me just start passing this out now.
Mr. Manos, for the record, since these are part of the submission, do you want to mark them? All right.
I don't think we need to. Those are part of the submission. We should mark them.
We'll mark
A1.
This. A1. There's a series of photos, which I'll have Mr. Bechtold describe after he passes them out.
Fine. He said the house to the left.
That yes.
Be, I guess the 3-story house directly on the water.
Yes.
Forms the corner.
If you're so right.
Everybody's aware. I don't know how you were handing the orientation. It's a very nice property, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Andrew, now, can you just, for the record, just identify each of the pages of the exhibit? So exhibit A consists of what?
So exhibit A, which is all of the photos that you guys have in front of you, the first photo is basically looking down Shuri Avenue and seeing my client's existing home that is to the left, and then their larger curb cut and fencing, which is kind of in the center of the page. The next page is 2 photographs, pretty much a dead-on shot looking down Shuri Avenue directly at the house, where you can see the 2 curb cuts, you can see the raised planting beds and the lowness of the property. And then the other photo that's on there, the north view, is basically a little further down, catching a little bit of the neighbor and seeing how, you know, the amount of concrete, the amount of impervious surface area that's there. On the next sheet, you'll see what, it's an aerial that's basically showing the relationship of our property down at the lower end of the page, and at the upper end of the page is a house that I guess has asked for a similar variance, where their pool is also in the front yard and fairly close to the front yard. Our pool would be comparable to where they are, but again, kind of showing the relationship and also showing the amount of development that's in there. Again, our house is actually further back from my client's house that's just immediately to its left as you're looking at it, or to the right on the page. And most of the other houses are actually either in line or slightly forward this house as well. And again, we're lifting it in place in kind. So everything that's on the water, we're not expanding any further into the water. It's going to stay where it is. And then the final page is again a shot of the house further down Surrey Avenue that has the elevated pool deck, has a privacy railing that I can see. I don't even know that's 4 feet, and then has a planting bed in front of it. The other sheet that you have is basically the revised site plan, which is showing this this more digital file. This reflects the revised, yes. So to the right side of the page where the pool is, we're providing a 4 foot setback to the pool deck. And now we're putting the stairs closer to Mr. Carfagno's property. So the only thing that's going to be between the two properties is a set of stairs that's right at the bulkhead to go up onto the bulkhead. That set of steps will be down a walkway where there's a fence at the front property line. Again, there always was going to be a fence along the front around the pool, and that's where we're asking for that taller fence and privacy screen, if you will. We'd also like to put plantings in the right-of-way in elevated beds to provide even a green buffer, similar to what you see in that last photo that is further down the street where there is a green planting bed, so that we can provide a softer screen element there. It also goes hand in glove with what you see for Mr. Carfagno's property now, where you can see the large brick retaining walls that also have planters in them, kind of continuing that theme throughout. We want to make this building kind of a sister building to what is next door. So we're trying to create kind of its own little enclave here. Exactly. You know, you can't go down the sidewalk any further without literally walking into Rusty's property. So we will have sidewalk in front of this subject property, but basically it dead ends into Mr. Carfagno's wall.
Bechtel?
Yes, sir.
On that corner, when you're talking about the landscaping beds and the raising and so on, 2 feet may not be adequate for that corner with the grades. You have to look at the elevations and so on. That is floods pretty deep there.
Yes, sir. And we're aware of how low it is. We plan on obviously keeping a 2% cross slope for the sidewalk, but basically an 8% slope everywhere else. So we're going to do everything in our power to get that up as high.
To your beds and so on, I think it'll be the service to say just 2 feet. I think I'm advising you. You know it. Mr. Carfagno lives there.
Correct. And as you can see next door, those planting beds are somewhere in the neighborhood of at least 30 inches, so 2.5 feet or so.
Yeah, I was aware of that. Yeah.
Yes, sir. But again, that will provide the screening element anyway. And who knows, if vendor decides to raise the roads here, that'll act as a retaining wall so they can jack up the sidewalks and everything else in the streets. So maybe that's a good thing.
That's for discussion with the board and the engineer, Rich.
Yes, sir. And then on top of all that, as per Mr. McLaren's report, all the downspouts are going to go directly into the bay. So there aren't going to be any downspouts actually dumping onto any of the hardscape. So any of the hardscape that is going to have rainfall on it, yes, that will go into the, potentially into the street. But everything else that's on the building, inclusive of the area that's over the upland area, that will all be directed into the bay.
Is there any provisions for when that does flood, that the water has a place to evacuate to? Is there any of that consideration to give us?
As far as if it does flood, if it floods, it's going to come up the street and it's going to go down the street. There's no other, I mean, I can't put any, as Mr. McLaren also said in his report, I can't put any scuppers or anything like that. I'm not going to have a sump dip, unfortunately.
You can't block the bulkhead.
I'm sorry?
No, you can't do that in the bulkhead.
Yes, sir.
I just was asking.
And the bulkhead will be to the +8 standards as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Those seem to be the hot button issues that were part of the report. If there's any other questions, I'd love to answer them. Absolutely not.
Yes, it's exceptionally shallow, and it's exceptionally small as far as the area. Again, it's less than 1,400 square feet. Correct. We're within about 4 or 5 inches of complying with the front yard setback of 12 feet. It's about 7.4, I believe, yes.
Could you explain your plan to the board briefly? So
absolutely. Understand that. So on the ground level, the only thing that's basically touching the ground that's part of the house is going to be a little foyer and elevator vestibule. There's an exterior stair that will take you up to the front, up to the first floor, up to that front porch, and then inside. And then the elevator would also take you up inside. On that first level, you look at sheet ZB4. This is part of the submission pack. ZB4 is most likely the fourth sheet that you have in your application. You'll see that you'll come up to a living level where basically it's a modest kitchen, a living room, dining room, and a family room den area. And then you go up this floor to another floor, up the steps to another floor. And on that level, we have 4 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. Again, built basically within the footprint. If anything, we're actually a little bit behind the footprint on the landward side. So we could have a covered deck on the first floor. Again, trying to improve the aesthetics of the home, making it complementary to the property directly next to it. It's a fairly simple plan, but again, it's pretty much the bayward side of the property is basically exactly where it is, where it was always. And so we worked within that footprint to create the most efficient and beautiful design that our client wanted. Well, the aesthetics are better, and not to mention, we're going to be complying with all the flood requirements. And we're also going to be raising the sidewalk, raising the driveway, creating more green space on the property as well. So I believe those are all visual benefits, safety benefits, providing proper off-street parking. Again, all benefits. The existing parking that's there, while there is a pad there, it's technically not compliant because it's not, obviously, it's a proper depth. I do not.
You have 2 stories, correct?
Yes, sir. 2-story.
You're about 11 feet less than what you...
Yes. Significantly less in height. Yes. Yes, sir.
I'm very happy that you mentioned the fact the curb cuts are going to be reduced.
Yes.
Looking at the site, said it seemed a little too big.
Yeah.
My only concern over the whole application is the pool is in front of the house.
Well, it's to the side, thank goodness, just like the other house.
To the side. The other house you mentioned, which we approved 2 years ago, it is recessed back a little bit. One could call it the front yard, but I looked at it as a side yard. This is really in front of the house. And I think it's just too close to the street. I'm not happy with that location.
Well, and that's another reason to look at that photograph, because again, Mr. Carfagno's house is there, basically has taken over that entire end. So it's a slightly, I could understand that feeling if it was something where this is along the street and you keep walking by it, but you're kind of coming to the dead end of it. And to me, that kind of blends in with that wall again, and the retainingness of it. Eventually, you're going to see people doing more retaining walls, I think, along this area so that grades can be brought up and hopefully things can be raised.
It does. I understand. Same orders, but it sets precedent. Once we approve this pool in front, it's going to say someone else and say, well, look, you approve pool that's right on the sidewalk. You know, I don't find that.
Well, the pool's not on the sidewalk. It's the deck of the pool that's on the sidewalk. And then the pool's recessed back 3 feet. And again, every application stands on its own. If we had more depth, we obviously would push it back to 12 feet. We don't have that. We're stuck with around 18 feet there. So to get that's part of this. The exceptional shallowness of the lot is creating this issue. Again, we're not building over in coverage as far as the building itself. It's a modest pool. It's 7 by 13. It's basically a glorified hot tub. And if we were filling the entire lot with, let's just say, a retaining wall, just building the earth up, you know, you wouldn't even know it was there anyway, because there'd be some kind of retaining wall. We're doing everything in our power to hide that fact, and that's why we've made the revisions that we've made.
I still wonder why someone who's going to be on the water can go swimming.
Well, that's an excellent point. So Mr. Garfagno is eventually going to be having some grandkids, and that area can be a little tricky to be navigating with other. So there's a space.
Its location just troubles me tremendously.
But you know, oh, I'm sorry. Apologize. So that's a fair point. And you know, I looked at that and we discussed it. So this is a less than 18-foot lot depth. It is a unique lot, right? And so when the board evaluates that, if somebody else comes in and asks for a front lot, do they have 18 feet, do they have 17 feet, or do they have 50 feet of depth? If they have 50 feet of depth, it's a different argument, and I don't know that you can justify it. This is a unique case, and that's what the statute talks about, a unique circumstance justifying a variance. I think in this case, we meet that circumstance, and I point out the lot has twice the width, substantially wider. What is it? 32 is required. We're 75 feet in width. We have a substantially wide lot. We have the unique circumstances where it basically dead ends into edge, Mr. Carfagno's other home. And so there's unique circumstances. So I don't see the precedent argument because somebody is not going to have the same set of facts, I don't think. And if they did, maybe they're justified in getting a pool too. But in that rare circumstance, I this does not, in my view, create any kind of precedent for somebody else to say, you did it before, you should do it again. There's just, this is a very unique circumstance. And that's why we're asking for it. It wasn't unique. We wouldn't ask for it. If we had 30 feet, 40 feet, and we could slide it back, we would slide it back and avoid the variance. We flipped the steps because Mr. McLaurin thought that it was too close to the adjoining property, even though we own it. And so we flipped the steps today in response, and we talked to them about it, and we're presenting that tonight. So we've tried what we can to make that fit. We are asking for a privacy fence, which will actually match what is next door to Mr. Carfagno's other home. I doubt people will know there's a pool there, especially this is a very low pedestrian trafficked area, very low. So I think that's just another factor in the decision making. It's not going to be obvious that there's a swimming pool there to people in the community.
And to touch on that just one slightly more, that's the other reason why the pool is all the way at the end. You know, I could understand if it was next to the neighbors, you know, potential noise, looking down the pool, but this is actually between the two separate properties. So that's the other reason why we put it on this end. And it's also the deeper end. So we try to get it back as far as we possibly could. Yes, sir. Nothing's below the lower deck. It is going to be open decking, and then the pool's going to, it surrounds the pool. But again, we're trying to terrace it so the front portion, the pool deck level is lower, because again, then we'd have too big of a wall, and I can understand why that would be more of a nuisance because there's too much privacy. So we're bringing the pool down slightly from where the new deck will be in the very back of the building where the existing fixed dock was over the bulkhead. So the pool is actually lower by about 18 to 24 inches than the main deck that's in the back of the house. Yes, sir. The lower deck is at the same pool height. So the deck that I can't, because the bulkhead's there, I can't put the pool over water, unfortunately. So the pool stops just short of the bulkhead.
Details on this site, could you explain the plan and the heights actually as it translates in real life, as far as the height of the fence, the height of the pool, and how it all looks from the street, please? I think the concept is being missed exactly how here.
Sure. So the pool platform is about 4 feet above existing grade, correct? Fence heights in a front yard are measured from the top of the curb. So you have to add 4 feet and 4 feet. So you're going to have 4 feet of deck and 4 feet of fence. So it's, in essence, it's going to be 8 foot. But the architectural rendering, you know, it breaks it up nicely, but that's why the height is what it is.
Does that explain exactly? I don't think anybody's cognizant of exactly what was occurring. I wasn't. Is that a correct statement?
That is a correct statement.
Okay. So that's the reason. This is unique in here in this situation. And it's a and the fence is there. Usually, the fences are the height of, in most pools, of where the bottom of the fence begins. And in this case, which would be in a normal front yard. In this case, it's not. Because of the flood situation that occurs there. That's all. And that's the real explanation of what's actually in this plan. If you like any further explanation, you have two people that can explain anything you need to.
So the retaining wall is going to be similar to the existing.
The brick retaining wall, you're going to see a lot of that brick.
There's only going to be a gap of a walkway between the two properties.
Correct, and there'll be a fence in at that gap. That fence will lead you down the pathway that's between the two houses. And
see the pool, you'd have to be taller than 8 feet.
Yes, sir. And we want to put, again, a greenscape buffer in the right-of-way in front of that wall and fence to, again, to soften it a little bit more in a raised planter. So you're going to actually have...
Above, like the neighbor.
Excuse me?
Above the neighbor's, or their existing house is above.
So if you saw that first photo, you'll see that Rusty's existing house has planters pretty much right out on the street that are already 2 foot to 30 inches high. So it'll kind of blend in with that. It'll just look like that's part of it. And we'll have you'll actually have a terrace. So you have a 30-inch planter with plants in it. Then technically up above that will be another 18 inches, and that's where the pool starts with the fence. But hopefully everything grows in real nice, and you won't even know the fence is there.
The board cannot grant you the right of way. You have to apply to city commission.
Understood.
We cannot approve that.
Understood. We'd like to add that as a green buffer, if that's possible.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to let you know. That's the powers of this body.
Understood.
Okay. Does the board have any further questions?
Yeah. Is it the applicant's intention to create those raised beds in the same material that is in the house next door?
Yes, it is. It won't be any of the wood that you see there now. Again, that's not what the city wants to see. They want to see something that is beautiful and brick veneered or what have you.
Are you complete now?
Yes, sir.
Any further questions from the board? I'd like to open to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Okay. I got fooled.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the public and that wants to make comment on this application? Hearing none or seeing no requests, the public portion is now closed. Nick, are you complete? Do you have a summation?
Just one comment. If the city has to go in there and do any work within a public right of way, you understand anything in a public right of way could be removed. Okay.
Now, do you accept Mr. McLaren's report?
Yeah.
Okay. You are complete.
So
you are complete, sir, right?
We are complete, Mr. Chairman.
This time. Members, you have anything last minute? Any questions of anybody? We're going to go to a vote.
The only question I had, I know there was some discussions about there's two existing curb cuts. There was some mention of reducing them. Is that in fact going to happen?
We will reduce the curb cuts, so there's a total of 30 lineal feet of curb cut, 10 and a 20.
20 and 10? Okay.
18 and 10?
20 and 10.
I want to give them enough room. I mean, 18 is kind of, okay. I mean, I think 20 makes a little bit. And currently, those curb cuts are basically what's there. So we're going to be reducing curb cut that's on the street. So we'll be providing at least a good, decent.
I agree, because you are pulling out into an intersection, so yes. You need that room.
I like to have a little bit more. Yes, sir.
The planner's subject to an encroachment license, but I thought, and I could be wrong, are you allowed some planters in the right of way?
Up to about 12 inches.
Okay, only 12 inches. So, okay.
So by them making it higher, they're actually doing a city favor in the long run if we raise the road.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So if there's no further questions, it's another C variance application. I'll run through the variances, then we'll need a motion and a second. The lot area, and again, this is the upland lot area, the bulkhead's considered the rear property line. They have 1,396 square feet, 2,000 square feet required. Their lot depth to the bulkhead, 17.7 feet, or 62 and a half feet.